Amen. What a blessing it is, again, just to be in church and be able to be ministered through music. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you'd look with me to the book of Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, as Sunday nights, as I've been preaching on the teachings of Christ and the Sermon on the Mount. What a tremendous blessing, the Sermon on the Mount, and Matthew chapter 5 through Matthew chapter 7. And as we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount, it's a blueprint for New Testament Christianity. And the Beatitudes is one of the first things that Jesus presents to the apostles. Now, this is Jesus discipling his apostles. And then it's been recorded that all of us can be discipled by the very same way that Jesus discipled his apostles. And he got them together. And he gave them the attitude for New Testament Christianity and what God will bless in that attitude. And so we've studied several, and so let's go ahead and stand tonight. We're going to be reading in verse 1 and read down to where we'll be at tonight, and that's verse 9. Verse 9. So verse 1 down to verse 9. The Bible says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And then tonight, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." And let's pray. Our Father, again, as we bow before you, we thank you for what we've already received and being in church tonight. Now I pray, God, as we've opened up your word and we look into this passage of scripture tonight, the teachings of our Savior on the Beatitudes, we're focused on blessed are the peacemakers tonight. I pray, God, that you'd help us and open up our hearts and our minds that we would understand and not only understand, be able to apply this truth and this attitude to our own way of life. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The one thing that we have established that as we study these are not of man. These are not carnal. These are spiritual. These are the blessings to the attitudes that God has established for New Testament Christianity. So as they're spiritual, they bring spiritual blessings. The spiritual blessings has to do with the favor of God. When you truly understand who God is, then you definitely want to have the favor of God. That is the blessings that Jesus is presenting concerning these attitudes. And so tonight, as we look to this idea of peacemakers, blessed are, you have the favor of God, the peacemakers. Now, if you'd look at the English definition for the word peacemakers, it would tell you one who actively seeks to make peace. That is a peacemaker. Who's actively, that is, they're mindful of that, they're looking to do that. And there's a lot of people that are very committed to world peace, social peace, human to human. There's a lot of people that would go out of their way to try to make peace among two that they find that are quarreling or two that are fighting and on and on and on. And that is a type of peace that we would look to and say, well, that's the definition of that peacemaker, one who actively seeks to make peace. But then we would study the words of God and the words of Jesus here in Luke in chapter 12. Let me just read this to you. But Luke in chapter 12 and verse 51, Jesus is teaching the disciples again, and he says this, "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth." And many would think, well, sure, that's why he wanted there to be peace on earth. But that's not true. I tell you, nay. This is what Jesus is teaching. That's not why he came, but rather division. When it comes to social peace and when it comes to human peace, actually my coming will cause division. Now, in the book of Romans in chapter 12, let me just read this to you as well. Write these verses down. You might want to go and study them afterwards. But Romans in chapter 12, possibly one of the most familiar verses in the Bible that we would understand as far as being living at peace. And the Bible says in Romans 12, 18, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." Now, it's not possible with some, but as much as we can, the born-again believer is instructed to live peaceably with all men. This is important to understand because as we live peaceably with all, that will give us a greater opportunity to witness. If you're not at peace with somebody, they really don't want to hear what you have to say. And so it's important. I would much rather live at peace than have to fight and quarrel and argue. So, what is Jesus teaching us? It's not social peace. It's not human to human. It's more than being an arbitrator. See, an arbitrator is one who settles disputes. And there's a lot of people that want to, again, try to settle disputes that don't even know God. So biblical peacemakers. What is Jesus speaking about here when he's talking about blessed are the peacemakers? He did not come to establish peace. He came to preach biblical peace. Biblical peace. Ephesians in chapter 2. You can turn there with me if you will. I've got several verses I want you to see here. In the book of Ephesians in chapter 2. Some think, well, I've been doing really good because I've been trying to keep peace amongst people. Well, that's not a bad thing. It's just not what Jesus is saying that is part of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemakers. Understanding this is spiritual. And it brings spiritual blessings. So we find here biblical peacemakers. Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 17. Jesus, speaking of Jesus here, it says, "And came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them that were nigh." So, came to preach peace. Now, understanding that's there, now back up and let's start reading it to understand what it's talking about. Verse 11, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. "Wherefore remember," now this is Paul writing a letter to the churches in Ephesus concerning Christ. "Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." The Gentiles were called uncircumcised by the circumcised Jews. And there was no peace between the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews did not want peace with the Gentiles. And because the Jews did not want peace with the Gentiles didn't want peace with the Jews when it comes to social peace. That's still a huge issue in the Middle East, the Arabs and the Jews. And so when there's been many peace treaties that have been signed and they tried to make work and none of them have worked and they will not work. They will continue to have unrest. as the Bible reveals. So Paul's writing to the Jews concerning the Gentiles, and the Gentiles concerning the Jews, the uncircumcised and the circumcised, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So he's saying those Gentiles didn't even understand. They didn't have God, didn't have the Old Testament. They didn't understand. And even the Jews now, they didn't understand because they still had a war with the Jews and the Gentiles. Verse 13, But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is, underline, our peace. Who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partitions between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Making this peace between the Jews and the Gentiles. Making this peace with the world. All who would simply believe and trust in Jesus Christ. For he is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity and even of the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Now he says, and we read this, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. The far off were the Gentiles. Those that were nigh were the Jews that needed to understand the new covenant, what Jesus ushered in, fulfilling the Old Testament and fulfilling the Old Covenant and ushering in a new covenant. So he says to both of you, to the Gentiles, the uncircumcised, and to the Jews, the circumcised, it's not circumcision that makes a difference, it is Jesus Christ. And if you look to Jesus Christ, you can have this peace with God that will bring you peace with each other. I love it. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Does that shed a little bit more light on what Jesus was presenting to the mindset that a Christian ought to have? Which would be a peacemaker? So let me give you a biblical definition of peacemaker that we find in the Beatitudes. Would be one who has peace with God, according to Ephesians in chapter 2, through Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised. And who strives to help others to obtain peace with God. Because it's having peace with God that'll eventually bring about world peace in the millennial reign of Christ. Not until then. It is having peace with God that will give us the glorious peace and everything that's associated with that in heaven. So two different things to look at here. The peacemaker. First, one who has peace with God. Having peace with God is salvation. Peace with God. Outside of salvation, you don't have peace with God. Romans in chapter 5. Romans in chapter 5. Okay, now I have people in the auditorium tonight, so I want you to nod your head. I want you to say amen. I want you to liven up a little bit. Don't act. I've been preaching to empty pews for 8 weeks now. Come on. I'm excited to have people that I'm actually able to look to. And so when I look to you, look back with a smile. Amen. Say amen. Say hallelujah. Agree with me here. Yeah. As we look to the Bible, praise the Lord for it. Romans in chapter 5, this is not anything new. I trust that most understand this, but putting it in light of the Beatitudes and what brings the blessings of God, the favor of God into our lives. That's what Jesus was doing for the apostles and for his disciples. He wanted them to understand what brings you into favor with God and the blessings associated with the favor of God. And this right here is the peacemakers. So Romans in chapter 5, if you will, in verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We do not have peace with God outside of Jesus being our Lord and Savior. You have to receive Jesus Christ to be able to have peace with God, which is salvation. If you drop down to verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So without this, we would be dead to God. We would not have peace with God. We would be dead to a relationship with God. He doesn't even know us if we're not saved. We're dead in our trespasses and sins. But through Jesus Christ, we have been quickened. We have been made alive unto God. And as you are being made alive unto God, then you have peace with God through Jesus Christ. So Jesus actually comes and he takes the lost person and he reconciles him to the God, the Heavenly Father that we look to. So Jesus is a peacemaker. Jesus is the one through the shed blood on Calvary's cross. He's able to take that which did not know God, that were dead to God, and he can make peace between the two. And he can reconcile them through his blood. Yeah. Without this, we'd be dead. In Romans in chapter 5, look on in verse 10, he says this, for if when we were enemies, being dead to Christ, to God, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man, that was Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. With that death, that sin nature, there came a separation between the peace of Adam and in the relationship with God. And so that same thing passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For unto the law sin was in the world, but is sin not imputed when there is no sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgressions, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, Adam, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So Jesus became the peacemaker between God and man. And he says, the attitude that I want all believers to have is that of a peacemaker. Not necessarily social, not human to human, but human to God. Amen. Spiritual. So having peace with God, one who has peace with God and strives to help others to obtain it. So having been saved, I'm still not a peacemaker. I have had peace made between me and God. But if I'm going to have the blessings of a peacemaker, once I have been made at peace with God, I need to strive to help others to obtain the very same. So this is living with the peace of God. Now that I have peace with God, I need to live with the peace of God. And the way that I live with the peace of God is becoming a peacemaker. Which, according to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, would be a witness for all believers, because now you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, you have the power to be a witness. Philippians in chapter 4. Look there with me. Philippians in chapter 4. Everybody following me tonight, I hope it's sinking in. I want to have the favor of God that's associated with the Beatitudes, and the Beatitudes associated with Christ is this of a peacemaker. And so I have to know that I'm saved, and if I know that I'm saved, I know that I have peace with God, and now I have to apply that. And I have to have a desire to help others to come to a place in their life where they can have the peace of God by having peace with God. Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 5 says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." Did you see that? Do you understand what that is? Telling people about the Lord. Telling people that the Lord is at hand. And no matter what your troubles are, you can look to God, and God is the answer. Jesus Christ is the solution to whatever it is that you're facing. And as we do that, can I tell you that that is part of the joy, the blessings, the favor of God in our lives, and part of us having a peace of God, because I'm doing what God has called me to do. I'm letting all men know the Lord is at hand. Amen. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And we have peace with God, so we have a communication line, and the peace of God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That peace of God, amen. If you have peace with God, you can have the peace of God. And the way to have the peace of God is to know that you're saved and trying to help others to come to that saving knowledge of Christ themselves. Verse 9, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Amen. Peacemaker. When you're living the Christian life, you can't help but being a witness. And when you are looking to be a witness, that's what a peacemaker does. Yeah. Blessed are, Jesus is presenting this, the peacemakers. Those having peace with God and living with the peace of God. Actively seeking to win the lost to Christ. That's the Great Commission. That's why we have missions. That's why we have outreach. That's why we have an invitation. That's why we preach the gospel. Yeah. Jesus gave us that commission. And in 2 Corinthians, let me just read this to you. 2 Corinthians, I want to share this. Verse chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are past, and behold, all things are become new." This peacemaker will become new. It's part of the new life. It's part of the Christian life. And all things are of God, and who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, the peacemaker, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, peacemaking. To the wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you, by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Because they were looking to be peacemakers. And that's what we are to look to do. And as we look to do that, the Bible says, Jesus teaching, they shall be called the children of God. Part of the blessings, the favor of God to those that have become peacemakers and have the attitude of a peacemaker, they shall be called the children of God. Which helps us to understand what Jesus is referring to is not just social peacemaking, it's spiritual peace. Associated with the children of God. Jesus, in discipling his disciples, he would say, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. There's not a born-again believer that should not be following Jesus and become a fisher of men. That's a peacemaker. John chapter 20, verse 21. John chapter 20 and verse 21. After the resurrection, before Jesus would ascend up into heaven, he said, then said Jesus to them again, peace. There's that word again. It's throughout the scriptures. It's throughout the teachings of Christ. Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. As you go, you can have the peace with God that gives us the peace of God. As we look to win others to Christ. Part of the blessing is when you have this inside of you and you want others to get saved, then you know you're a child of God. Because others will see you as the children of God. Because you're interested in their soul. You're concerned about their eternal life. And you're trying to help them to know what they must do in order to have peace with God. And once they have peace with God, live with the peace of God. And because you have it, you want others to have it. And you know because you have a desire for others to get saved, you know that you have it. And when you know that you have it, one of the blessings is I'm of the family of God. I'm truly saved. I'm truly of the family of God. I'm his child. He's my heavenly Father. And you can live your life knowing that you're part of the family of God because you will be called the children of God. That's powerful stuff. Maybe the reason we don't have and we're not living with as even a believer the peace of God, even though you have peace with God, you don't have the peace of God is because you are not in God's favor. And you're not in God's favor because you're not looking to be a peacemaker. And by a peacemaker, we know now it means trying to lead lost souls to Christ. Yeah. So in doing that and understanding that, Can I tell you the reason why not every believer does it? Because we know this to be the will of God, and anything that is associated with the will of God, we have an adversary. We have an enemy that will steal from you the blessings associated with having the peace with God. And he'll try to blind you from ever having the peace of God. Satan is the enemy of spiritual peace. You've heard me say many times, Satan's first objective is to keep a person from ever truly getting saved. Once he has lost that, he will try to render them useless for the cause of Christ, and being useless for the cause of Christ is keeping them from being a witness to others. Satan's first attempt was, and we've seen this, was in heaven. In the book of Revelation in chapter 12, it talks about even in heaven, there was a disruption of peace. A disruption of peace means that there was a war. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and to the sea. For the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. So the one that tried to hinder peace in heaven, cast down to earth, his first attempt and his first victory on earth was in the Garden of Paradise with Adam and Eve. In Genesis chapter 3, for the sake of time, we will not turn there. But Adam and Eve, God had everything. He prepared everything for them. But one thing he told them not to do. For if they would do that, they would surely die. And Satan came and he deceived. He persuaded them to take of that which God forbid. And he led them to sin against God. And when they sinned against God, they lost their peace to the place where they tried to hide from the presence of God. Wow. After that, we find that Jesus made a way, starting with the Old Testament law for people to understand what sin was and the penalty of sin. Then he came to fulfill the law, and he came to set man free and to reconcile man to God so they could once again have not only the peace with God, but they could have the peace of God. But he's still on earth. Today, in this 21st century, can I tell you, Satan is still working rather hard. He knows his time is short. I believe it's shorter now than it's ever been before. He's going to work harder and harder to keep souls from being saved. How can he do that? By keeping those that know the Lord from winning those who don't know the Lord and becoming peacemakers. The opposite of the children of God is the children of the devil. Jesus Christ separates those. But there is a nature and an attitude that's associated with the children of the devil and the children of God. Galatians in chapter 5, and we're going to close with this. I want you to see this, because this is what we have to yield to be the peacemakers that God would have us to be. Galatians in chapter 5. The book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. This is the attitude, the way of life. These are not the peacemakers. These are those that are being blinded by the devil and leading in this direction. Verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. These are not peacemakers. But those that have received Jesus Christ have looked to the attitudes and the way of life that Christ has presented, have this, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, a spiritual fruit, a spiritual beatitudes, love. Genuine love will unite. Genuine love will bring about peace. Amen. That's part of the blessing of a peacemaker. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. Temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ, you have been made through Jesus Christ peace with God. You have a relationship with God. Have crucified the flesh. You've turned away from those things that would hinder your ability to represent Christ and to be the peacemaker that God wants you to be. And you've turned away from them. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. But we have turned ourselves over to Christ to be a witness for Him. You'll be called the children of God because you have received Jesus and have been made peace with God. Now I want the peace of God by living with the attitude of a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Are you a peacemaker? Is that your heart's desire? I trust it is. If I could have every head bowed tonight, never eye closed. The Beatitudes, this is how we are to live our life. This is a Christian life, the blueprint for the Christian life. I want to be identified as a child of God's. And I will be And I know that I'm saved. I'm looking to do whatever I can do to help others to come to that very same saving knowledge of the Savior. Father, we bow before you tonight. We love you. Thank you for the truth of the Beatitudes, and especially tonight as we looked at this peacemaker and understanding the spiritual implications and what the spiritual definition of this would be. And I trust, God, that we have been able to share your word and help people to fully understand exactly what you meant by the peacemaker. And I pray, God, that not only would we understand it, but we would have a desire to live this way, to have this kind of mentality. Pray the Lord God that you'd help us all to help others to come to that saving knowledge of the Savior. Work now in our midst, bless in this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.